Narayana Namaskritya Narunche Vam Narotamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tatojayam Vajirayat Nashta Praiswa Bhatresu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya Bhavatu Tamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. So this class is from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 18th chapter, text 19, which I'll chant three times, and if you feel so inspired, then you can do the chanting also. Kuta puna grinanto namatasya mahatama kanta para dhyanasya yung kanta shaktir bhagavananto mahat gunatva dhyamananta ahu puna puna grinanto namatasya Mahatamai kanta parayanasya Yon kanta shaktir bhagavananantu Mahat gunatvadhyam anattam ahu Utapunagrinantu namatasya Mahatamai kanta parayanasya Yonanta Shaktir Bhagavananto Mahat Gunatvad Yamanantarahu. Alright, so let's do the word for word. Kuta, what to say. Puna, again. Grinanta, Grinata. One who chants. Nama, the holy name. Tasya, his. Mahatama, great devotees. Ekanta, exclusive. Paranayasya. One of one who takes shelter of. Ya, he who. Ananta is the unlimited. Shakti, potency. Bhagavan, personality of Godhead. Ananta, immeasurable. Mahat, great. Gunatvat, on account of such attributes. Yam, whom? Anantam, by the name Ananta. Ahu is called. Translation by the Bangis A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. And what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees? Chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called Ananta, unlimited. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Dvija Bandhu or the less intelligent, uncultured men, born of higher castes, put forward many arguments against the lower caste men becoming brahmanas in this life. They argue that birth in a family of shudras or less than shudras is made possible by one's previous sinful acts, and that one, therefore, has to complete the terms of disadvantages due to lower birth. And to answer these false logicians, Srimad Bhagavatam asserts that one who chants the holy name of the Lord under the direction of a pure devotee can at once get free from the disadvantages due to a lower caste birth. The pure devotee of the Lord does not commit any offense while chanting the holy name of the Lord. There are 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. To chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord is transcendental. And therefore such chanting can at once purify one from the effects of all kinds of previous sins. This offenseless chanting indicates that one has fully understood the transcendental nature of the holy name and has thus surrendered unto the Lord. Transcendentally, the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical, being absolute. The holy name of the Lord is as powerful as the Lord. The Lord is the all-powerful personality of Godhead, and he has innumerable names, which are all none different from him, and which are equally powerful also. In the last word of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that one who fully surrenders unto him is protected from all sins by the grace of the Lord. Since his name and he himself are identical, the holy name of the Lord can protect the devotee from all effects of sins. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord can undoubtedly deliver one from the disadvantages of lower caste birth. The Lord's unlimited power is extended on and on by the unlimited expansion of the devotees and incarnations. And thus every devotee of the Lord and incarnations also can be equally surcharged with the potency of the Lord. Since the devotee is surcharged with the potency of the Lord, even fractionally, the disqualification due to lower birth cannot stand in the way. Oma ginati virandasya, gana gana shalakaya, jakshu omritam gina tasmai sri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaisnavam Sya Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sya Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Shabandhu Sute Devi Panamani Hari Priya. Pancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sunyubhya Eva Cha Chaitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadhara Shivacharya Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Namo Vishnu Puraya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Kinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvesha Sunyavani Paschatyadi Shatarini. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Titani Namne Guruji Chayinma Anandali Lamaya Vigrahaya Himavira Vachadushunirai Tasmi Mahaprima Raspadaya Titani Chandraya Namo Namaste Titani Chandraya Namo Namaste Titani Chandraya Namo Namaste Titani Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. The translation again, and what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency. The personality of Godhead, unlimited in potency and transcendental by attributes, is called Ananta, unlimited. Hare Krishna. So, this is something I thought about yesterday, and I think I'll bring it up first before we continue here. As we all know, or most of us know, if not all, that we are all subject to four defects. One of them is committing mistakes. And to be honest, I did in fact make a slip. I was thinking one thing and said something different. But I think it's a mistake that I should bring it up and you know, put things in the proper perspective. So for my Shastra, I was saying, translated it, but the Shastric text in Sanskrit itself is Mamayivamsa Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manasistani Indriyani Pakatistani Kashati. So Krishna says that the living entities are eternally my fragmental parts and parcels. They are that way. But in this material world, they're struggling. we're struggling with the six senses that includes the mind. So that's the way it's put there. And so when I was talking about the six senses, including the mind, so Krishna has said the mind, in fact, is the sixth sense. Another part of the Shastra said that way. Of course, the mind is part of the subtle body. And so inadvertently, I did say the senses were also part of the subtle body, which they're not. They are in the physical body. The five senses are in the physical body. A good many of them are in our faces, as we can see. Eyes are there. The ears are there. The nose is there. The tongue is there. There's four already. Those are in the physical body. The mind is in the subtle body. So that was, I wanted to make that clear, because I did, in fact, this slip out of my mind talking about all the senses being in the subtle body, and that's not correct. All right, so we've got that out of the way. Hare Krishna. So, what to speak of those who are under the direction of the great devotees chanting the holy name of the unlimited, who has unlimited potency? This is a very, very important statement. Chanting of the holy name. This couldn't be, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful shloka in this Srimad Bhagavatam. Chanting, but specifically chanting under the direction of great devotees. As Srila Prabhupada would say in the purport later, the pure devotees. The personality of Godhead is unlimited in potency. And the Lord is Janma, Karma, Chame, Divyam, everything about Him is Divyam. His birth, His activities, they're all transcendental. Therefore, the chanting is also a transcendental activity. And so we are fortunate, even while we are in this material world, in an unfortunate situation in terms of having to struggle to live. It's not like that in the spiritual world. Nobody struggles to live in. And they live eternally. They don't get old. They don't get sick. They don't pay to pay bills. None of that. But the chanting of the holy name is great. It's a great activity, wonderful transcendental activity, whether it's done in the spiritual world or whether it's done in the material world, by those souls who are fortunate enough to connect to the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Srila Prabhupada puts the point out, and this is something that was said quite a few times in lectures that I attended. It was made clear, and this time, in this purport, for this particular text, Srila Prabhupada goes into detail to defend the point about the less intelligent, uncultured men born of higher castes, saying that lower caste men cannot become brahmanas. In the life that they are considered lower caste men, they cannot become brahmanas. There's brahman, shakya, brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. And as it says, kalal, shudra, sambhava, in this age of Kali, practically everyone is shudra. So then, by that argument, they would say that nobody can become a Brahman unless you are born in the family of Brahmins. And that's your Papa saying, the argument is, well, people take birth based on their karma. So if your karma is such that you're going to be poor, then you're going to be poor. You're going to be born in a particular family or a particular part of the country. If you involve yourself in war and now you're born as a victim of war, I mean, those things, karma is very complicated. Very complicated. But not, well, in our sense, for our minds, it's complicated, but not for Yamaraj. He's here for, we definitely can get things done in a very efficient way. But these men born of higher caste, they say, oh, you have to be born of a Brahminical, born in a Brahminical family. Yeah, there's one advantage. You can be trained as a Brahmin in a Brahminical family. Yeah, that's there. Just like, you know, a mundane example, somebody is born in a family of lawyers. Well, sure, it's easier for them to become a lawyer because the law books are there at the house. And the people who are experienced in Lord are actually family members. They can train you. So that's one thing that's there. But it's not exclusive that, okay, you're born in a family of lawyers, then you become a lawyer. Therefore, if you're not born in a family of lawyers, you can't go to law school to study. That's not true. You certainly can study and be taught and become a lawyer. So in the same way, so Sri Prabhupada, that's, you know, the spiritual master, that this doesn't mince any words, calls him Dvija Bandhu. The unfortunate people, progenies from the Brahmin family, Dvija Bandhu. And they're saying, oh, you got to be born in that family of Brahmins to become a Brahmin. And Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Prabhupada didn't say he said Sri Prabhupada, Bhagavatam makes that point that if one chants the holy name of the Lord being directed by a pure devotee, then the disadvantages due to a lower caste birth can be scrapped off. Yesterday we were talking about this. Sutta Goswami himself admitting that he was not born in a family of Brahmins. He was born in a mixed family. Yet, he was fortunate enough to be hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the list of a pure devotee, and being heard by a pure devotee, asking the question. Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj Pariksit. And then when Shukadeva Goswami also came to the sages in Namisharanya, he got an opportunity to repeat what he had heard, and even got more questions from them. Wonderful discussion. So, there is the mercy of the pure devotee and the mercy of the Lord coming through. Nobody is banned from becoming or chanting the holy name of the Lord, becoming Brahman. The requirement here is there has to be directions given by the pure devotee, chanting the holy name of the Lord. How to chant the holy name of the Lord? A pure devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, does not commit any offense while chanting the holy name of the Lord. The pure devotee is very, very much connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in love. And therefore, when they mention the Lord's name, their heart literally bubbles in love for the Lord. So how can they go wrong and get their mind going somewhere else? The pure devotee of the Lord, for that reason, does not commit offense by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as Srila Prabhupada says this. So they don't commit any offense. So then, there are 10 offenses. In chanting the holy name of the Lord, there are 10 offenses. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees who are engaged in propagating the holy name of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord is as good as the Lord himself. The Lord is absolute. And so if we say something negative towards a devotee, even if the devotee is not pure, but the mind is in the right place. The mind is convinced that Krishna consciousness is the path to follow. So the devotee is there and undergoing purification. But in the meantime, they are serving and propagating the holy name of the Lord. The holy name of the Lord can save the whole world. So a person doing that type of activity is a very special person in the eyes of Srimati Radharani. To offend that person, as my Guru Maharaj likes to give an analogy, it's like throwing dirt at them. To say negative things, it's like throwing something that's very, very bad at them. Like trash at them. Now, would you want to actually physically throw trash at someone else? The answer most likely for everybody's mind will be no, because we will be causing a problem. So, that is not something that we're going to want to do. We have to stay away from doing that kind of offenses. So, the first offense, devotees, and sometimes our minds ask us to make devotees, oh, well, it doesn't matter. sometimes we categorize the woodies. And I've heard this. We'll talk about what dams. This particular devotee is doing so and so and so. And the God, some of the God family members says, oh, he's not so advanced. Those kind of statements. And to actually think, even though I won't go into details about it, I don't even remember who said that now, because it's just, I know it was just, one of the devotees who was in fact a God family member for that particular one that he spoke about like that. Now the person that was spoken about like that is actually a guru now, with disciples. You can imagine. This was a service that I had sometime back in the 1990s, towards the end of, close to 2000. And this happened. And I was very, very, very disturbed to hear it. But of course, I knew I had to put it out of my mind as soon as possible. So to blaspheme devotees is serious. Very, very, very serious. You have to be very careful. Devotees are like a double-edged sword. If you misuse it, it can, in fact, mess you up. You have to be very, very careful. And the second offense is about the demigods and Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are not at the level of Lord Vishnu. So those who are in whatever religions that make them think that, oh, they are all the same. And I've heard this also. People that came said, oh, they're all the same. They're all powerful. Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, and they go on and on and on and add other Lord Ram. But all of that gets added, lumped into one. There is a leader, the most supreme. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, should not be put at the same level as Lord Brahma, who is a jiva, a jiva, living entity like us, very advanced, to like us, and Lord Shiva. Demigods should not be put at the same level as Lord Vishnu, Krishna. Third one, don't disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. And spiritual mastership, that whole point of having guruship, for lack of a better word, has been put there by Krishna himself. He said, approach the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and then render service to him. Krishna is saying this. In Bhagavad Gita, render service to him. He was telling Arjuna, render service. Approach spiritual master, inquire. Arjuna was inquiring, and he rendered the service of fighting, because Krishna was his spiritual master at that time. So the spiritual master's statement is important, very, very important, and it's important to obey them. And as a matter of fact, we have what we have from Srila Prabhupada himself, because he obeyed the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj is the one that told Srila Prabhupada, you get money, you print books. Come teach Krishna consciousness in the West, in the English language. Did he do it? Absolutely. Did he write the books? Absolutely. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, that was his idea, that in the society there should be the GBC, Governing Body Commission. That was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj's idea to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada set it up before he left his body. So all the important things, Srila Prabhupada was a very, very good listener too. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj liked him very much, because he stayed with the spiritual master, hearing him and thereby growing like that. He's a pure devotee, but his actions are examples for us to follow. So the orders of the spiritual master are very important. So much so that even when he says, that is my opinion, even opinion should be taken like an order. The only time that a devotee is able to do something based on what they think of is when the spiritual master tells generally what is to happen, and he says, you take care of the details. And even that we have to pray for guidance from the same spiritual master. And guidance from Lord Gauranga. And then you go about it. Because then you're putting yourself in the position of, I am a servant. I'm always a servant. This task has been given to me, and please guide me through it. It should be priority. The fourth offense is to blaspheme Vedic literature and the literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The Lord in sound and in words, same powerful Lord is there. Therefore, if we blaspheme Vedic literature, it's like blaspheming Krishna. Vedic literature talks about, especially the cream, the commentary of Vedanta Sutra, Srimad Bhagavatam. We should respect Srimad Bhagavatam just as much as we respect the deity. Very, 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 very important. We shouldn't think of the holy name as just imagination. Make up something that is not true about the holy name, or put it down for some different purpose than what is intended. And we shouldn't give us some interpretation outside of what the Shastra says about the holy name. So imagine, we shouldn't have it as imagination, interpretation, and we definitely shouldn't commit sinful activities using the holy name. Oh, it's going to get us out. If we chant, it's so powerful, it's Krishna himself, therefore I can do something wrong, and then I can chant the holy name, and I'll be all right, and they will be wiped out. The holy name is not for play like that. It's not for our convenience like that. Krishna is one that we are supposed to serve. The holy name is Krishna. So we serve the holy name. We chant the holy name in the proper consciousness. That's service to the holy name. We shouldn't have the holy name dumped in the same karmakandic, fruit of action type things, or the rituals that we do wanting specific things, like the way people chant mantras to specific mantras to specific demigods for things that demigods can give. You don't use a mantra in that same way. So also, again, to prevent blasphemy by people who don't really understand God. On the one hand, we're supposed to preach to them to get them interested. But if they show that they're not interested and begin to be offensive and blasphemous, we should stay away from them. We have to be careful who we open up to about Krishna. So as we are opening up to about Krishna, we also have to be careful. The glories of a holy name, that we do not talk about that to someone who is faithless. And the last one is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. If we don't have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, we don't have complete faith in Krishna. It's that bad. Because Krishna's holy name and his holy name are identical. His holy name and himself are identical. To not to have incomplete faith in the chanting of the holy name is like to have incomplete faith in Krishna. And what happens? The person who is thinking that way is also maintaining material things. Attachments for the purpose of sense gratification. And finally, we should be attentive while chanting the holy name. So that wraps up the 10 offenses. The 10 offenses, we have to be careful when we're chanting. And if we obey these, then our chanting will be quite smooth. And in fact, we will derive so much from it. Because that's the Lord, calling the Lord's name. It's very, very important to be attentive. It's like if you want to call somebody, what do? You look at them. But if you take your head away, look in a different direction, and call that person, the person turns around to look at you, and you're not even looking at them. Looking in a different direction. What are they going to think of when we do that? What do they think of me if I did that? So that when we are chanting, yes, I know the mind sometimes plays games, and that's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, you beat the mind in the morning to get it straight. And Guru Vinamara says, the way to beat the mind, because you can't physically beat the mind, the way you can beat the mind is, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, you just emotionally override the mind in all kinds of crazy things you would think about. Chanting the holy name strongly and with great conviction. So, to chant the holy name under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Sometimes we worry about this. Under the direction of a pure devotee is offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting of the holy name of the Lord is divya, transcendental. And so the holy name can purify us. And sometimes, yes, our mind goes different ways. But the same pure devotee of the Lord has said, after you finish your round, chant, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhadvaita Gadarha Shivasari Gora Bhaktivinoda. Why? The Lord is, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate, the Lord is very, very, this is Lord Chaitanya, is very, very magnificent. So he helps purify our chanting. This is the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord. The pure devotee of the Lord himself does not commit any offense chanting the holy name of the Lord. You hear Srila Prabhupada chanting, he chants right through. Now, we're not at that level. And sometimes some of our sannyasis chant right through, and some of our sannyasis say, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, because they're trying to help us. The pure devotee, when he does that, it comes down to the level of second class and second class, those of us that need the preaching. So then the acharya, the guru, will chant sometimes like that and chant the Panchatattva mantra so that he's directing us to do the same. And of course, their level is their level, and if they choose not to, that's up to them. But we have to chant the Panchatattva mantra. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sirvaita Gadarha Shivasari Gora Bhaktivinoda after every round, 108 times of repeating the holy name. Like that. So, little by little, the holy name will purify us. When we get to the point of offenseless chanting, Srila Prabhupada says, the one who chants like that has fully understood the transcendental nature of the holy name and has surrendered to the Lord, just like the Lord says, Sarva dharma parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papevya moksha ishami mascha. The religion say this, the religion say that, and so on and so on. Abandon all of them and just surrender to me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead owns the spiritual as well as the material. Everything comes from him. The wise, who are devotees of the Lord, they know that, and so they have connected their hearts to him, and they just worship him with all of their hearts. They talk about him, and that's where the wonderful transcendental happiness is achieved by them. And therefore, we have to be really connected to the holy name. Chant it for our own benefit, connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chant it out so that other living entities can also hear and benefit from it. And by so doing, we will help to elevate the level when this planet is at, which is quite low at this point, because the demons are running things. But that happens in the material world. The demons run things for a while, and then Krishna comes and sets the record straight. That happened in the last Kurukshetra war. Why was the war fought? Because Krishna wanted to put Maharaj Yudhisthira on the throne. So by his will, things can be changed. And all we have to do is follow the footsteps of the acharya. What he says, we do. When he says it and he does it, then it's like show and tell. And this is how we tell, and he also show. So then we copy like that and try to do the best that we can and follow his orders. So the 10 offenses are what we've gone through now, and be careful of all of them. First one, don't play with devotees' feelings and emotions. Be careful when speaking to them. Truth must be spoken, but it's supposed to be spoken in a very palatable way. And the way to speak palatably is to use mild words and those words that sting people. Because then the devotee would take it as an insult. And once you change the devotee's mood and make them feel hurt, you've already offended them. And so, one of the ways is, every devotee that's trying to serve, you have to praise the service that they do. And you can say something wonderful about every devotee. So if you want to say something that they need to be aware of, something that they're doing that's wrong that needs to be changed, you can start by talking about what they do and they do nicely and praise them for that. And then you use mild words to kind of make the point about the change that they need to make. The change that they need to make. Whatever they're doing that needs to be corrected. And even with that, the smart thing to do is, you know, use either the Shastra or the spiritual master says like this. And that's what we've learned. So this is the way Srila Prabhupada directs it. We do it this way. So you don't even say in terms of I want you to do. It doesn't become I want you to do. But the spiritual master directs us to we do it this way. So this is just for your information. Like that. To be respectful the whole time. Respectful of the person's feelings. And in that way, if you have really things that bother, and we have emotions, things that bother our minds, then yeah, you may want to say it out, but never in front of that person if it's going to offend them. So you have to be tactful in how we use our situations and words when we are in front of devotees and helping them. And when that is practiced, the whole temple then has a very wonderful atmosphere. Devotees feel good. Devotees feel that they are needed. Devotees feel that they are respected. And we're not talking about just respecting only people who are older than us, but how you speak so nicely even to the younger devotees makes a big difference. Remember, the young devotees are the future of the movement. If they feel bad, guess what? They're gone. They're gonna go. And we'll be at fault for doing that because they should have stayed and they're gone. But their point is, I don't even feel appreciated. I'm spoken to, like, spoken down on and so on. Never do that. So it turns out we did the first one of the 10 offenses. Be careful not to blaspheme devotees. And the last one, be attentive while chanting. So the holy name of the Lord is unlimited. And all the names of the Lord has the same potency. Still, Lord Chaitanya came as a devotee to tell us, we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And so, if we do that, then we will in fact grow and be humble, just like Lord Chaitanya says in his Shishastika. Trinadapi sunichena taradapi sahishnana amanina manadena Ketaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass and who is more tolerant than a tree and who does not expect personal honor yet is always prepared to give respect to others can very easily and always chant the holy name of the Lord. And that's why the offenses, the 10 offenses are put that way, to be careful about what to do and what not to do, because the 10 offenses are what not to do. And if we obey that, then we will grow wonderfully. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you, dear devotees, for listening. And now it's time to unmute your phones if you so wish, or put some text in the chat. Concerning this or any other thing else that you want to do. Mother Gita has already raised a hand. Go ahead, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Accept mine. Virtual. Hare Krishna. And of course, the Credit goes to Guru and Gauranga. After all, they're the ones that are directing us and showing us how to chant. And so this is whatever you feel about the lecture is because of the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. I'm just a mouthpiece talking about it. But we are all learning and growing. Thank you, Hare Krishna, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and Guru and Lord Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions or takeaways? Hare Krishna. Yep, fine. God should qualify. In simple language, and I know the blaspheme, it's, and in an English dictionary definition, it's more specific towards one thing, saying negative. But the general way is we have to relate to devotees so as to not upset them. Be careful about the feelings of a devotee when you're speaking to them. If you do that, you will not say anything in a way that would make the person feel bad. And if you, the person feels bad, you basically are under the umbrella of blasphemy. You criticize, definitely, that is not good. If you say something that's negative, say something to suggest the positivity that can come from it. Say it the other way. The other way. The right thing to do. Rather than complain about the wrong thing to do, but no solution. Then that's criticism. You've left it wide open like that. That's criticism. It's part of blasphemy. So, blasphemy is really an umbrella word like that. And what to do not to blaspheme is be nice to devotees at all times. Be nice to devotees at all times. It does not matter whether the person is initiated before you, after you, older than you, same age, younger than you, younger than me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We always have to be respectful when we're dealing with devotees. Devotees are not perfect. We are not perfect. As I started this morning, admitting that I made a mistake, and I have to actually bring it up and put it there. Put it in its right perspective. So mistakes will be made. Sometimes bad habits. And that has to be worked on. We all have bad habits. Why else are we in the material world that's conditioned so? The bad habits are there. We have been practicing it for what? Literally, living bad habits for lifetimes. And so to purify that, it's not something that would happen overnight. We have to be more and, you know, be careful about our emotions and still bring things up to help everybody grow. Otherwise, if a person is made to feel bad, then they will not like the temple, they will not like the devotees, they will not like the temple, and next thing you know, Maya has pulled them all the way out of Krishna consciousness altogether. And that should not happen. We should never be the reason for that to happen. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for adding all these points, very, very important points. And as you were talking and I was hearing, I was thinking, this is humility. This is humility. Magnifying the other person's positive things. In fact, it is said, don't even talk about the negative things. Talk about the positive things of the person. And there's very, very, very big advantage of doing that. If we talk about, we think, as Mother Gita put it, we think first, and then the words come out, and then the actions. If we think negatively, we will crowd our mind with negativity. And the person that crowds their mind with negativity is a person that people are not going to want to be around so much. Because you keep hearing all this one, that one, that one. It reminds me, I'll tell a quick story. So I went to visit my sister here in the United States. And while we were there, I think the whole family went. And while we were there, and she's in, you know, a Christian, she's in a church, two church members came. And they were all sitting. And then when they sat in the dining table, two Matthews and my sister, and they started talking about everybody in the temple, I mean, the church that they talked about, they said something negative about. And I'm in the dining table, I'm in the kitchen area, and I can hear it. And I was feeling so uncomfortable. One negative thing after another, and I'm going, it would be nice to stop if I can, but I don't even know them. This is the first time that I'm, you know, hearing this. So unfortunately, I didn't do anything about it. I put up with it, but how uncomfortable feeling that it was. And both of them were just raising their voice and go on and on and on. So that's what happens. It creates a very negative atmosphere. It creates a very, very negative atmosphere. And when you chant like that, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you become at some point sensitive. The more you chant, the more sensitive you become. And now these things where sometimes in Kali life, we were another thing, not even worry about it. But the devotee can be affected. So negativity, they gotta go. As Mother Gita was saying, you magnify the positive aspect, then your mind has so much positivity and you yourself feel good and even your health will be better. In the way you think, the way we think. So we have to be careful. What an interesting strategy. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you for that nice story. Yeah. And actually the way it connects to us as you were talking this story is you don't really know. You don't really know the caliber of the so-called new person who has come. You don't know. There are people who have come and they've read so many of Srila Prabhupada's books already. What to speak of Nimai? When Nimai was born, did they know? Everybody around know that that was the Supreme Personality of Godhead that had come later on when he was initiated called Lord Chaitanya? Did they know? Nimai, all the Nimai. People were even thinking in Navadvip that Nimai is so intelligent. If you could just be a devotee, how much benefit would come to the whole of Nadia? But he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead and they simply didn't know. So you never really know. So we have to be careful. Another point that says be careful how we deal with the devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mother Gita. Nice story. Anyone else want to add or have a takeaway? Any last takeaways? There's one in the chat from Dear Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for reminding about the importance of pure chanting and avoiding the 10 offenses. All glories to Guru, all glories to Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Jai. Any other comments? If not, then thank you very much. Yeah, let's keep our Kartik vows up. It's a wonderful time to make sure that our special or extra activity we do, we make sure we stay with it because we're getting so many more credits, 1,000 times more credits for everything we do in this period. Hare Krishna. Pancha kapaturu vishya kripa sundivya evacha. Pratitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnava Thakur ki jai. Gaura Prabhudandi. Hari 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 Ho. Jai. Hare Krishna. Have a nice day and a nice weekend. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. Jai. Gaura Shri Prabhupada.